Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Carrie. Welcome to another episode of Freaks and Geeks. I believe I have April on with me.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yay, good. I was like,
awesome.
I didn't hear it tell me that I was on. Hey, everybody. So, welcome to Freaks and Geeks. Just like Carrie said, this week we're going to do something kind of special. We're going to talk about a recent ghost hunt that we had at the Beacon Theater in Hopewell, Virginia. We had that alongside RTL Paranormal, which Carrie and I are both members of, so it made a lot of sense. But we did a lot of recordings while we were there, and we ended up getting actually a lot of activity, not only while we were there, but even before we started investigating, there were a lot of things going on, and we can kind of roll through those a little bit as we go on through the cast here. But Carrie, first of all, how was your week?
My week was pretty good. So we had the excitement of, investigating at the awesome Beacon Theater. New Year's, I didn't really do anything. Kind of disappointing, I know, but, I'm a homebody. I made my New Year's resolution, which every year I kind of make the same one, and it's to read so many books. For this year, I've gone a little higher. Every year I go a little bit higher. This year I'm trying to hit 365 books.
Wow.
One a day for this year.
You are a voracious reader.
Yes. So I started doing it a couple of years ago, and I hit like 273. And I've gotten a little higher each year, so I decided to just go for it, balls to the wall, one a day.
Yep. That's super incredible. I mean, like 365, that's a lot of books. That's awesome. I don't think I could do that, I think reading is like one of those muscular things. It's, your brain's a muscle. So if you're not used to reading like that, there's no way that you can just immediately start reading and pour through books like that. So I'm lucky if I can get through like 20 a year,
Well, it's probably kind of like any other muscle and going to the gym. You just kind of build up a little bit over time.
Yep. 365, though, that is crazy cake. That's a lot.
Well, I find that I read really fast, regardless of what I'm reading. So I think that, definitely plays a beneficial hand in it for me.
Yeah.
But if you think about, the average paperback.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I can read fast, but I can't retain it. Like, I have zero retention whatsoever. I can't even tell you. Like, the thing that I just read, I have to read a page a couple times before I ever, actually get the information.
Yeah. I think that's also a hard part. I can retain pretty well. Sometimes I have to, reread a line if I'm distracted. I don't know, I guess my special talent, the speed reading.
Yeah. Well,
I think the average book is, if you think of the average paperback being 300 pages, if I'm uninterrupted, I can finish that in an hour.
That's crazy cakes. 300 pages in an hour.
Yes, uninterrupted.
You're like the world's strongest man, but of reading. You know what I mean? Those competitions that they have, the Arnold Classic and all that stuff. You are the world's strongest man, except for reading. I wish they had that kind of a competition where you had to speed read and they would test your comprehension and stuff. And then, they would give medals based off of how quickly and, accurately you could retain the information. That would be awesome.
I mean, that would be amazing.
You could go to the Olympics.
Maybe I
should
start it. Is it okay to start a competition that you think you might win?
Yeah, that's what Arnold did. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, well, perfect then.
Yeah, and he's a success. So, we'll just do that.
Sounds good.
And so you can proclaim yourself.
How was your week?
Well, I am currently sitting in a hotel room right across the way from the National Capitol, which is, you know, it's always nice. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful view. The nastiness kind of cleared out of the area, so I'm actually able to kind of see pretty far now, and the lights are really pretty. But otherwise, like, this past week has been an absolute just shit show, I got to tell you. Like, there's been so much going on. I've been trying to get so much stuff done because I've been thinking that either, you know, not that I'm going to move to Germany now, by the way, if you're a listener and you have kind of been following my development, I am no longer necessarily going to Germany this week, obviously, because I'm sitting here in a Washington, D.C. hotel room. But I am going to Germany for little stints at a time. So there are going to have to be some episodes that are going to be pre-recorded. Unfortunately, my audio quality is going to be a little bit on the bad side. Like right now, I'm basically talking to you on a cell phone. So I don't even have my microphone or anything like that with me. So for me that's out there listening, just bear with us. We're trying to do what we can during this transition. But, I got the best news today. So while I'm waiting for the German government to get their shit together, basically, and figure out what they're going to do with me, I am going to be able to work from home for most of the month.
Sweet. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'll be going home soon. I'm really excited about it because I've got so much to do at the house. I've got so much to do still. But B, I also get to have all my gadgets. I get to have everything. I get to be with my daughter. I get to do all these great things. So it just really has been a great day with regard to that specifically. Let's see, New Year's, because I'm the queen of the freaks. I had to do something super freaky. Not really. I might just as well be the queen of the geeks. I feel like it's interchangeable between us. Like, Carrie, you and I can both be both at the same time. So got my geek on and played World of Warcraft all night with my hubby-to-be. Very exciting. Loved it. I tried my damn best to do the Death Knight at level 55, which is like about halfway through the evolution of characters. Level 55 is like the base level for a Death Knight, but if you're a newbie, you need to start out on level 1. So my happy ass started out on level 55, and I got like 10 seconds in, I got my ass handed to me. So.
Oh.
Very embarrassing. So I elected to start off at level 1 again, and now I'm working on leveling up my little blood elf. We'll see how it goes.
I don't have, like, the, I don't know, dexterity maybe to play video games well. I mean, if you send me down with, like, Super Mario Bros. 3, you know, I'm good. But other video games, like, I can't, there's too many buttons, and I can't push them fast enough. However, I do love to, like, watch and coach and, like, support someone else's video game playing.
See, it's just like reading. It's just a muscle that you got to work out over time. You got to, you know, let it keep expanding, let it keep growing. And over time, that muscle, that reflex will serve you well, you know, like, I'm a hell of a lot better now than I was when I started out, that's for sure. And it's just from playing over and over and over again. For me, I was never really interested in World of Warcraft. I was actually just interested in spending time with Chris. And because it's important to him, I mean, he's a member of, like, a guild. Pardon me if I'm saying this wrong, but he's a member of a guild, and he's, like, this really awesome mage? I don't know. He heals people, whatever that is. So he does really good at that, and, like, he's sought after, and he's part of all these leagues and stuff, and just about as super dorky as you can get. And God knows I love that aspect about him, but I wanted it to be something that we could do together, too, because it meant so much to him. it was something that took up a lot of his time. And he's already with me on the ghost hunting stuff, even if I do want to strangle him most of the time when he's there. So if anybody comes out to the ghost hunting event that we actually have, RTL is doing a take two on the Beacon Theater this coming Friday, and that'll be at, I think it's 7 this time, right?
Yes, yes. We're doing a meet and greet from 7 to 8 and then investigating 8 to midnight.
Yeah, so Chris will be with me there for that. So if anybody comes out to see that that ghost hunt, it's a beautiful place. We're going to get into the history here in a minute, but you'll get to meet Chris and I. Please don't be a stranger. Come up and talk to us. We're already awkward. That's just how we work. We came, we saw, we made it awkward. And that's what our t-shirt says. And damn it if it isn't our own slogan. So please come up and talk to us. We can all be awkward together. It's fun. It's okay.
And I think that there are a couple still open. So if you're interested, hit up on our Facebook page or the RTL Facebook page or the Beacon Theater page.
Yeah, I think it's like 5 more spots. So
that sounds
anybody
good.
Out there, then by all means, come on out. We've gotten a lot of activity.
It's only $20, and all of the money goes to restoring the theater.
Yeah, because that's what – so that's one thing that I love about RTL. We have so many events during the year. I'm not saying this to toot our horn or anything like that. There's a lot of paranormal groups here that are just wildly successful, and they're all absolutely wonderful. But one of the things I love the most about RTL is that we have a lot of these events, and we don't make not a dime off of them. We give that money directly back to the historical foundation or the historical location that we're doing our hunt at, and we do it because we care about the community. That's hugely important to me. I think, I know to you too.
Absolutely. Sometimes I think about it, and I'm like, I can't quite decide what I love most about this, like the actual investigating or getting to wander around these beautiful historical places, like. They're both right there together. Like, just I enjoy both parts equally.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually thinking that about the Beacon because it's not just the Beacon either. We have been in some amazing places. St. Albans, good Lord. Like, how many other people in the world get these kinds of opportunities to have carte blanche to do whatever they want to do inside some of these beautiful old historical areas? Beautiful.
Yes.
Ancient Greek architecture on the walls and this classic red velvet draped curtains and this classic red velvet chair, that old boiler that was patented in 1918. Yeah. Some of the coolest stuff you will ever see, really.
Yes. So, hey, if somebody is maybe not quite into the ghost hunting thing, or maybe they're like a little bit interested but they love history, perfect. If they're into the ghost hunting and maybe don't really know that much about the history of the place, great. Like, you can learn something on both sides of it.
Yeah, truly something for everyone. And if you are on that side where you don't really want to do the ghost hunt because you might be just a little bit on the worried side about it, don't worry about that. You can come hang out with us during the ghost hunt. We typically don't do too much of the hunt because we are recording and we're trying to get a couple of shows queued up. We're working right now to make sure that we have enough content to last. I do have to go to Germany a couple times. Just for a very short stint, but unfortunately they will be on Tuesday night. So we have to pre-record some of our episodes, and we're working on that right now. So if you don't want to go do the ghost hunt, don't go do the ghost hunt. Just come hang out with Carrie and I. Just come sit at our table. Come sit around our fire. And we'll talk about all sorts of stuff. We'll talk about books. We'll talk about L.B. Taylor. We'll talk about technology, we'll talk about World of Warcraft, I'll talk to you about anything you want me to. So I guess the time has come. I guess you should get into the history a little bit. And I kind of think maybe we could do the history, and then as we go, we can talk about the experiences at the hotel, at the theater, because this theater is just chock full of not only history, but also experiences. We got some of the best evidence that I have ever seen on tape, actually physically seen.
Absolutely agree. So the theater was built in 1928 by the Knights of Pythias. It began as a silent movie theater, and they also had vaudeville shows there. Some stars, Sally Rand, who was a famous burlesque dancer, Lash LaRoe, who was a cowboy performer that actually taught Harrison Ford how to crack a whip for, Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones, that's what it was. Performed at the Beacon in the 30s and 40s, and then in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, it moved into primarily just being a movie house. In 1981, the theater was abandoned, sat vacant for a long time. A couple different people tried to reopen it, but none of it really was successful. Then in 1999, a group of Hopewell citizens, with the help of the city, were able to complete phase one of the restoration. They stabilized the decline and opened the event space, which is at the front of the theater. In 2011, the project was returned to the city of Hopewell. The city council took action to finish the project in time for the centennial celebration in Hopewell in 2015. Their goal was to restore the Beacon to play a major role in the cultural and recreational life in the area. By 2012, a restoration design for the theater and backstage was complete and renovation began. As a historic building, the theater was eligible for historic tax credits, which will return funding to the overall investment of $4.2 million. Now, something sort of interesting to tie the Beacon into another historic site in the area is it was designed by architect Fred Bishop. And he's the same architect that designed the Birch Theater here in Richmond.
Oh, wow.
And the Beacon actually opened 1 week before the Bird opened.
And the Bird is one of the longest continually running theaters in the U.S., isn't it?
I believe it is. It has been continuously open since 1928. They still show movies there today. It's a second-run theater. So they show movies like a couple weeks after they come out in other theaters. The tickets are $1.99, which is just insane. No, they have midnight movies, Saturday nights. They have showings of, sensory-friendly movies on the weekends where they keep the kind of lights up a little bit and turn the sound down a little bit. They show classic movies. They have film festivals there, just all kinds of amazing things.
Oh, and they also have an organ, and sometimes they'll even have an organist that plays.
Yes, so before the 7:15 p.m. shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, Bob Gullidge plays the Wurlitzer organ, and there's a sing-along. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I remember. That's one of my best memories of high school is you and I going up there for the midnight show of all sorts of things. I think we've even seen Rocky. Have we seen Rocky Horror at the Bird? I feel like we have.
We haven't seen Rocky Horror. They actually did Rocky Horror at a new theater that opened here on the Boulevard. But I think I've seen Fight Club probably like 8 times there at the midnight movie.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that was always a really good one. So,
and they're open 365 days a year, too. They never close.
Yep. So I wanted to... So one of the things that we kind of glossed over a little bit with the Beacon was the fact that it was an adult movie theater for a section of time in, what, the 70s? Is that correct?
Yes, in the 70s and 80s, it was an adult movie theater. And I was talking to one of the guys that runs it the other night when we were there, and he actually said that while it was an adult theater, they were also still showing family-friendly movies there. So you might take your kids on Saturday morning down to the adult theater to see Herbie the Love Bug. Yeah, just, oh.
That makes my skin crawl a little bit, gotta tell ya. So something that I find super interesting about the Beacon Theater is its location, its geographic location. So there's a lot of thought out there that flowing water, electricity, certain historical landmarks within the ground, certain types of composition within the ground. If there's a lot of granite in certain areas, that hold in spirit activity a little bit more than another place. And not only is there quartz in the ground in Hopewell, there is also within, walking distance to the Beacon Theater, there is the James River, and there's also Dominion Power as their large factory, like huge facility right there on the river. So, and there's also a myriad of factories. I don't even know what kind of factories are over there, but they're terrifying, to be honest with you. So there's a lot of activity there. There's a lot of things going on. There's that running water. There's the ground, the channeling activity. So it's a really active location just to begin with.
Oh, absolutely. And Hopewell is such an old area anyway. Before the Beacon was even there, Hopewell was a happening place. So,
yeah, it was a really big crossroads and center for trade, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hopewell was sort of settled by, the early colonists of Virginia. It was a hot spot during the Civil War when it was called City Point. Point is actually the oldest part of Hopewell, and that was established in 1613 by Sir Thomas Dale. It was first known as Bermuda City, then Charles City, then Charles City Point, then City Point. So something very interesting is that Hopewell City Point area is the oldest continuously inhabited English settlement in the United States because Jamestown is no longer inhabited.
That's incredible. So a lot of activity. The theater is 9 years old. I know I said it at least 1,000 times while we were conducting the investigation. The theater is 9 years old. There's a lot of activity. It's just a spiritual sweet spot, really. And it's very close to Central Virginia, so it's very accessible for a lot of people, which I think is really key as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The building has been so many different things, too, over the years, outside of the theater portion.
Yeah. And you've got the hospital right beside it, too. There's got to be...
Yes, the Randolph's Medical Center is right there beside it.
Yep, and there's a jail right there, too. Yeah, there's a lot. Man, that's kind of like a vortex of just energy.
Absolutely.
That's a good spot. It's a good spot right there. So I guess let's go ahead and get into some of the stuff that we actually experienced.
Well, before we start, though, I guess we should kind of give the outlay of the building. So when you come to the front, there's the old box office and the two main entrances. There's sort of a side front entrance that goes into what was originally storefronts. Above that are two levels where they have areas where they can hold events. There's a ballroom on the third floor. Then behind that is the actual theater space. And then behind that is what was originally a doctor's office in the 50s.
And not so savory things happened there, apparently. So
yes, apparently the doctor's office was the spot for young ladies to go if they found themselves in a bit of trouble and needed to get some things taken care of.
If you know what we mean. Wink, wink.
If you know what we mean.
Yeah, and that is that area now is the dressing rooms, and there's a couple of meeting areas that are the old doctor's offices, and those are supposed to be very highly active. Where the ballroom is, that was actually an apartment. And there's a really interesting area next to that ballroom, and it's like an interior hallway, if you will, kind of. It's not been refinished at all, almost, and so it's that old exposed brick, and there's old plaster and all this stuff. And Carrie and I managed to make several really cool discoveries while we were in that hallway, the first of which was we were able to discover that there was a gentleman, possibly lady, but yeah, more than likely gentleman, named W.H. Whitman, who signed his name on the old, was it the old plaster? Yeah.
Yes, on the plaster.
Yep, old plaster, August 3rd, 1932.
Yes, and
now,
I was trying to do a little live historical research while we were there, and I was looking for someone with that name in Hopewell around that time. I was only able to find one male with the last name Whitman, and he was a 10-year-old boy living with his mother and stepfather in Hopewell. But I'm going to do some more research and see if I can find them.
Yeah, and should you look in Hopewell or should you look in City Point or one of the other names?
Right, so I looked around that whole area, Richmond, all of Virginia, actually, thinking that maybe if he was, like, a tradesman that was helping with the construction of the building, he might have moved around some. So I did look all over Virginia and wasn't able to find somebody with that name. But it may be that he was in between places when the census came around, and maybe that he kind of traveled around. So I'm going to try and look at some other things and see if I can find them somewhere other than the census.
We should see if there's any record of him for the military during that time, especially.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Yeah, so could be interesting to try and see.
Yeah.
We also, in that same hallway, there's a little cut-in. So it looks like what happened is at some point, someone who is working on theater decided that it would be way more advantageous and probably cost-effective to wall up one of the really, really, really old projectors that was bolted into the ground. And these are the ones that are, like, as tall as you and I are, so 5'5", 5 foot tall, about then. They're huge, huge, and they're so cool. It's so cool because it's like peering into a piece of history. There's old kerosene cans in there. Just really cool. In fact, I have no idea whether they would keep kerosene around old film. Isn't old film particularly explosive or is that something you should be very careful with?
So I don't think it's particularly explosive. And I'm not sure why necessarily kerosene would be in there. I was thinking maybe it was something to maybe treat I think old film is made out of acetate. So I'm not sure if it was something they used to, like, clean it or maybe it's something else we can look into and kind of get some more information on.
Yeah. You know something creepy off topic? But
yes.
You know something creepy? I don't think there's anything creepier than talking about ghosts and ghost hunting in a hotel room. Island is the tomb, and you know some bad shit has gone down somewhere in this hotel. You know it has, like, that's a thing. That's a normal thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Creeps me out, man. Creeps me out. I can't see what's behind me either. It's creepy. Anyway,
yeah. So you get to respect the wall at all times.
Yeah. I keep, like, mistakenly looking in reflective surfaces and then be like, nope, no, no, no. I'm not looking at any reflective surfaces. There will be no scrying today. Thank you. I do not want to know.
No good.
Nope. I don't want to know. I'd like to sleep tonight. I only got like 2.5 hours of sleep last night, so I'd really like to sleep tonight. Anyway.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you for that, ma'am. Come protect me. or protect me from there. You know, do something. I don't know.
Spooky woo-woo stuff.
Spooky woo-woo stuff. Tell them to go away. Oh, geez, that's something crazy that happened. So in that area, the ballroom area, my daughter had elected to go up in that area. And within that area, there's a little tiny closet that they keep a lot of their tables and chairs and just all their equipment for kind of hosting dances and weddings and anybody else that wants to have stuff. And a really, really seasoned, fantastic, very talented investigator named Tara took my daughter upstairs. My daughter loves her. So took her upstairs, and she was sitting there. And apparently Jane was afraid of the closet. And when asked why, she said that she didn't like the man in the closet. Now, that's interesting. And so Tara brought her back downstairs to me because I certainly don't want to scare her. Unfortunately, I had to have her with me due to some family emergency, but had her with me. And I didn't want to scare her. I just kind of told her it was a historical thing and that we were going to hunt ghosts, but that ghosts really weren't real because I'm just not trying to have her have nightmares yet about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But pretty much immediately after that, they actually got an EVP of a man's voice telling them to leave from that closet. So that's pretty interesting. That's a thought provoker. She also saw a shadow person in my house, which is not the
coolest. Yeah, we think maybe like an interdimensional person.
Yeah. Not the coolest thing in the world, I'll tell you that.
I keep hearing stuff behind me. It's creeping me out right now. I'm telling you, I keep hearing things. That's why I even said that, is because I keep hearing things behind me in my room.
Did you just knock something over?
No.
Okay, because I heard something like...
Nope. I mean, I can hear planes. There's planes going by, so that's a thing.
Yeah, it sounds like something got knocked over.
Mm-mm. Maybe it's the chair.
Mm-hmm.
That?
Oh, yeah, that's that. That sounds
okay,
good.
The chair. That's what it is. I'm going to open my window. Maybe that'll make me feel better. Crazy in and of itself. Like, it faces some spooky... Oh, man, the fog is crazy. You can't even see outside.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I'm literally looking directly across from the airport, and I can barely see the lights. Wow.
Oh,
that's...
Man.
I wonder if fog increases spiritual activity.
I don't see why it wouldn't. It's putting moisture into the air as you go by the, you know, what is it? Water causes more. I mean, that's kind of, could be. What were we talking about?
We're ignoring the noises that are coming from our room. Anyway.
What noises? There are no noises. It's fine.
No noises, no. So anyway, I think the very first thing that I had any dealings with at the Beacon was in the actual theater portion. And at 7:25, so we started the investigation at, 5? We started the kids' investigation, and that went until 8 or 9, and then we started the adult investigation after that. At 7:25, we received an anomaly on one of our cameras that was pointed at the stage. Now, this anomaly is very, very well formed, and it was captured by two different cameras, two completely different brands, two completely different types, one of which is a full spectrum, and the other one is a regular camera. So we captured it on both of those cameras simultaneously, synced. And few different angles, and you could actually see different features on each tape. Now, I did go ahead and post one of those to the Freaks and Geeks website, so if you're interested, by all means, head on over there and take a look at that real quick. Within the first, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, you'll be able to see that anomaly that I'm talking about walk across the stage. Now, bear in mind, you're looking at a video of a video, so it's going to come across a little bit grainier than we actually see in person. Hopefully, RTL can go ahead and post that on their website, and we might be able to get a little bit better of a view at both of those. It'd be cool to do like a comparison side by side.
Yeah, I think it would also be interesting too. So RTL has investigated at the Beacon before and have actually called in another separate video from another separate investigation months ago an image of a figure walking downstage closer to the orchestra pit from right to left. This one that was captured this past Friday was upstage, and it was walking from left to right, and it kind of looks like there's a second figure behind it. You know, you can definitely go to the RTL page or to our page, Freaks and Geeks, to see the video. We'll make sure and share it there too.
Yep. There were another, there's a handful of events that actually occurred in that area though. So underneath the stage is that huge old boiler from 1918, and it is glorious in all of its antiquity. So we had that. And there was a group of people downstairs, and they apparently were told to get out a couple times. Really harsh. That's really interesting. And
yeah,
of course they did. They're going to honor, you know, the person's wishes. But kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I knew about that.
Yep, I think I've got it on one of our interviews, so if you want me to start playing interviews, I can do that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and listen to an interview.
Okay, so first things first, I'm a terrible interviewer, but I'm learning, so don't judge me, or you can if you want to, but please don't say anything mean because I'm trying. I introduce myself every single time, and we're just going to have to all pretend like that's not a thing, okay? Okay.
Talk a little bit about how it was going on. This is your first good one. First good time, awesome. Good experience, right? All right, so what did you get? What did you experience?
I have to say, which is really one of the heck first. Still, like, fully, like, bruised. And then, we were upstairs in that ballroom. I looked down that hall, and I saw, like, a shadow. She could, like, duck down. And it scared me, and I backed up. And I was in that door, that corner by myself. It told me to get out and go home.
That was in the ballroom on, like, a floor?
And I heard, like, a dragon.
Let's hear what you hear about that. But you're out here, you're out here, you're free. You're out here, and I'll love you. And all my years to do is that nothing's ever actually hurt me. I mean, you might get a little bump and scratch back to the thing. It might hurt a little bit temporarily, but nothing that doesn't bother you. Nothing like this. Don't be worried. Plus, the Beacon itself, or the Beacon Theater, is a really historical place. There's a lot of stuff that's not here. There's never been best. Nobody was in the movie. And then I felt like something
sitting beside me, and I started, like, tearing up and crying a little bit, because it was, like, a bunch of energy was around me that scared me. I just felt bad all of a sudden.
You know, that happens when you're breaking so a lot. You're totally, like,
yeah. Oh,
very cool. Yeah, very cool. I've been told that I am, but I think that's just too dumb to realize. Like, I say that a lot on this podcast, but I think it's just too dumb to be like, oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing I'm feeling. But Carrie downstairs, she has a lot of what's called empathic power. So she's basically able to step back and watch a little bit and kind of be like, well, Mike has, like, something wrong with your heart or something like that. Maybe you're doing it for years long. She's able to help their living wrong with their I would love hearing about abilities, but I can't hear about it.
Still trying to figure it out. That's okay.
Like a really staticky sound when it's coming through. Like it's hard to hear.
Oh, my bad. Okay. Well, just talking to Sydney and just telling her about your abilities and about Lindsay's abilities, because she was actually sensitive. And so she was saying a lot of the experiences she was having were scaring her. So I just kind of wanted to reassure her and let her know that, you know, it's all a process, and she's still figuring it out, and that's okay. And that there are lots of people around that can support her and help her out with that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that. That was the girl with the blonde hair, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
Yep, she had a lot of experiences.
So y'all went somewhere where there weren't a lot of people around to record the interview, right?
Yes. However, I will say that you guys are the loudest bunch of wildebeests I've ever tried to escape from. So there was really no running away from it, which was unfortunate. But you know, that kind of area sound does carry pretty crazy. So you guys would be like clapping and laughing downstairs, and I'm trying to do this interview, and it's clearly coming through really clearly on the mics that I have here. This is my first time ever using the H4, and it is very sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was Sydney. I have several others, but I certainly don't want to play them if they come through verbal. What I really need to do is I need to get, like, a line from the actual H4 and then run it into the phone or run it into whatever we're going to be using.
So maybe we can work it out to play the interviews next week.
Yep. Hopefully. Or, at the very least, we can... At the very least, we'll have a whole nother set, and maybe we can try and find a spot where we can do some soundproofing.
Yeah. Maybe in one of the green rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a really good suggestion. And also, one of these green rooms was a source of quite a bit of activity, I think, during the hunt. One of those green rooms was used as the facility for the doctor that would perform needed services for the girls. Unfortunately, a couple of girls met their end that way. And there were a lot of people that had experiences. At one point, we thought we were having the supreme freaking experience we could possibly have. We thought the lights were going on and off without us doing anything, and we're sitting there. It turns out that one of the light switches is actually on the other side of a really long hallway on the other side of a door, so they had no idea that we were investigating at the time because the place is huge, and we were just kind of walking around by ourselves, and they were messing with the lights. And so we're sitting there like, oh, my God, here it is. We're getting it all on tape. We were going crazy, but... unfortunately, it was just somebody playing with the lights. Although we did get something weird, didn't we? It was something that happened.
Yeah, we did hear some noises back there that sounded kind of like doors closing.
We heard a moan.
Yes, we heard a woman moan more than once when we were in one of the green rooms. And you could hear it from the hallway, but there was no one in the hallway.
Yep. It was very loud, too.
Very loud. Like it definitely wasn't something carrying from somewhere else or anything like that. I kind of had an interesting experience. I went back to, like, the main door on the back hallway that goes into where the green rooms are. And I was kind of standing outside the hallway. I didn't realize the door opened, actually. And so I was standing there, and it sounded like there was just a small room behind the door, and I could hear doors opening and closing, and there was, like, some scratching noises kind of at the door and stuff that sounded like paper shuffling around. But so maybe the doors opening and closing could be explained, but the scratching of the door and the paper shuffling around just behind the door, I couldn't figure out an explanation for that because it opens into a hallway. And there was no one back there.
That is officially kind of creepy.
Yeah. I think we startled ourselves and one of our guest investigators, Tim Hoover, back there. We were kind of walking around back in the area where the green rooms and the dressing rooms are, and we're kind of just looking in the rooms and opening doors, and someone's back there reviewing some audio, checking for EVPs, and we didn't realize anybody was back there, and he had his headphones in, and we busted into the room and I think startled him and this scared us too.
Yeah, poor Tim. Poor Tim. We did have a really interesting little interaction in the women's bathroom at the Beacon. And for a little while, it seemed as though the K2 that we were using was actually going off in response to questions that were being asked by my daughter.
Yes. So earlier in the night, April and I both felt like there was something going on in the bathroom. And then Jane said something about it too, about a woman in the bathroom and a man in the hallway. So we went in and set K2 up. We had the recorder going. And we tried to do a video in there, but the audio didn't come through. So we're asking some questions, and that it was a woman, and that I think we narrowed it down that she was between 18 and like 22. Jane's getting a lot of responses in there. We heard a couple noises coming from like one of the walls in there.
Yep.
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to spend a little bit more time in that bathroom. I realize that is probably one of the strangest things that I could possibly say, but you know what? It's true. I can't wait to spend some quality time in that bathroom and get a little bit more results. And now I actually have the time to be able to go buy a couple of pieces of specialized equipment that might help us a little bit to try and figure out who's there and what kind of entity it is, if there is.
Yes. That's kind of like a great thing about being able to investigate the same location multiple times, as you can
work out different ideas, work out different things to try, just to see, like, what works, what doesn't work. You can test out things.
You know what we should do? We should go super old school, and we should do the baby powder on the floor.
Oh.
Yep, yeah, especially in the area where Sydney was talking about hearing something dragging.
Yeah.
That would be really awesome. Old school baby powder on the floor. Yeah, because it's not like anybody really uses that women's bathroom anyway. There's another one down there.
Yeah, and we could easily clean it up in there, so.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be a problem for us to do that.
Yep, and we won't have Jane either, so we would be able to actually, you know, do it without any complications or any challenges or barriers. So.
Maybe we can
do pendulum in there.
Yeah, and try the dowsing rod in there.
Yeah.
We'll
just got that freaking ball, so I really want to try scrying. Like that girl from Cool Kids Paranormal. I don't remember what her name is for the life of me, but hey, if there's anybody out there listening, Cool Kids Paranormal, they truly are cool kids. Love them. Ken Kessner. Just an awesome group of people. Incredible. And one of the members is just girl, she does all this jewelry and she does her own pendulums and stuff like that, and she gave me one of her pendulums, and I just adore her, really. She's the cutest little thing. And she was telling me all about scrying, and now ever since I've talked to her about that, I can't wait to try it. I want to try it really bad, although I think it's gonna scare me. And that's okay. Little bit of fears help me.
Yeah, we can do it together, and, I mean, there's a million damn mirrors in that room, too.
Yep. All we got to get is a flickering light. We can do that. We've got flashlights and a flickering light. Yep. All right, well, I guess we can pretty well sign off on this one. I mean, I hate to make it sound like we're going to the end of a freaking race here, but to be honest with you, I gotta walk all around my hotel room and make sure that there's no crazy people in here with me.
Yeah, you gotta tell the spooky woos to get the hell out so you can go to sleep.
Yeah, I gotta get all the stuff out of my damn room. I gotta get out my rocks that I have that you gave me. I gotta make sure they're all set around my bed properly so that way I can sleep. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Little ritual. Yep, that's right. Little ritual.
Okay. So next week, we'll be back with another episode about the beacon, and we'll see if maybe we can get the interviews to cooperate.
Yes. My promise to you is that I will do everything that I can to make sure that the interviews are much better next week. But you know what? For a fledgling podcast, I think we're doing okay.
Kind of like something. It's all about experimenting and figuring out what works.
Yeah. So, funny enough, we were talking, Chris and I were sitting around talking about, you know, our year and whether we thought that the year had gone well or it hadn't. Of course, that's a popular conversation, especially because 2016 was just such a damn roller coaster.
Yeah.
And he asked me what the best part of 2016 was for me, and I said, of course, him. But then I also said, you know, I think the podcast is probably definitely in my top three. And it's because I feel like it's enabled me to connect to so many other people and to be able to reach out in the field in a really positive way and to talk to people like a voodoo priestess. Never in my damn life did I ever think that a girl from Blackstone, Virginia would be talking to an ordained voodoo priestess.
That's
That's awesome. That's so crazy and awesome. We have done some incredible things in the last less than a year. And we have so much more.
So maybe that's my third favorite thing about ghost hunting. The investigating itself, the awesome historical places, and the awesome fucking people you meet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we have some friends that are just incredible. Ryan Jones, who's another one of the hosts on this network, on the Vibe Radio Network. Oh, my God. Jake Feist. Everybody knows how we feel about Jake Feist.
Yes.
Ashley and Misty Connor. Tara Profetti Street. Flip Cyrils.
Holly Mullins.
The guys. Huh?
Holly Mullins.
Holly Mullins. Yeah. She is. She's like my spirit mother. She doesn't want to be. It's begrudging, but she doesn't really get a choice either. I just force myself on her most of the time. So crazy. The guy is from Virginia Paranormal Institute.
Oh, yes.
Oh, we have much love in our hearts for them because they are just the coolest people ever. Seven Cities Paranormal. Tim Hoover. That's Spangler.
Dennis Eslock.
All these people. Huh?
Dennis Eslock.
Oh, God, yes. I want to investigate with him so bad. Cannot wait. I look up to him so much.
We have definitely got to get out to the 360 house before you go to Germany.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it the 22nd.
Of January?
Yeah. Put me on the calendar. Okay. Book me in. Let's do it.
All right. I will ask Ryan, and we can see what is up.
Okay. There we go. We're doing it. It's that easy. This field is
playing
incredible.
Big things in 2017.
Yes, we are. We already have a bunch of stuff going on. We have a Paracon that we're signed up for, one already. We got some brand new T-shirts that we're loving. We've gotten over 4,000 views on one of our videos in a span of like 4 days. That's pretty incredible. That is pretty incredible. I'm humbled and appreciative.
It's like the funny thing about doing a podcast is like it feels like it's just me and you. It's just me and you talking. And me, you, and occasionally somebody else talking. But apparently all these people are vibing with what we're doing, so we'll keep doing it and try to get better and learn about more awesome things and meet more awesome people and go awesome places.
Forget. Ghost hunt our asses off this year. It's going to be great.
Heck yeah. And we're going international.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're going to Germany, baby. It's going to be great. I want to go to Paveglia Island. Doing that.
Oh, God. Amazing.
Yep. All right. Well, we got to go, guys. There's so much to look forward to, and we can't wait to spend the rest of our year with you. This is going to be a great year. Look out for us.
All
right, guys.
Have a good night.
All right, everybody have a good night. Bye.